Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, From Darkness to Light, where we examine and reprove spiritual wickedness in today's world, as well as providing instructions on repentance for those overtaken in the sins of witchcraft and occult practices. Join us each week on our mission to fulfill the words written in the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Once was light, now darkness rules. Where once was love, love is no
darkness to light? Monsters. What if I told you that monsters are very real, and they are among us? They have overrun the streets of the ghettos and slums. Their reach extends to the gated communities of your suburban neighborhoods. They infest the schools attended by your children. Even at this very moment, a monster may be lurking in your own home. Monsters are vicious and cruel. Monsters are destructive and horrifyingly evil. Monsters are heartless and have an utter contempt for all life. Monsters do not show pity to old or young. Monsters do not fear the laws of God or man. Monsters live by no code and respect no authority. Monsters cannot feel guilt or shame, nor can they feel sympathy or empathy. Monsters exist only to feed their own ungodly lusts with no care for consequences. They attack on a whim. They harm others because they can. And they kill for fun. To see the faces of these monsters, one need only tune in to your local news. From gang violence to school shootings, rapes, robberies, murders, and random acts of unprovoked violence, the generation of today's youth have been transformed to the stuff of nightmares. The Holy Bible tells us that in the last days, unclean women would give birth to monsters. But how did this happen? When did it begin? And what enemy is to blame? Join us today for another installment of From Darkness to Light as we use the words of the Holy Bible to expose the evil that has corrupted a generation, giving rise to our greatest fears.
Giving all praises to the Most High, Jesus Christ. This is not From Darkness to Light. This is Kings and Priests on a Saturday morning, 9 a.m., 2 p.m. in the UK. But this is from a show that we did, me and Brother Akrai from Darkness to Light, called Monsters. And basically, it was going into how there were evil spirits in people, demonic spirits in people, you know. So had this movie called Frailty. And in the movie, the guy was given this power by the angels to see demons and people, and basically these demons were serial killers. So, you know, one of the things that we do on Darkness of Light, and Akurai does very well, is show people the hidden connections on the dark side that people don't see. That, look, there's some real, you know, you think about Friday the 13th, Jason and the Exorcist, but there's real demonic forces that's on people, and they're doing diabolical, evil things. And one of the things was you had these people, it was like what they would do was they would kill their mother, cut her head off, and pluck out her eyes. And so there was like three cases, and like the last case, like Akurai showed like what it was really all about. And the person, the last person, what they was caught up into was these different satanic rituals. So there are some real deal live monsters out there, but it's not monsters like Godzilla. These monsters are people. They're disguised as people, but they really have some demonic forces on them. But one of the one things that I wanted to do today was show that, look, these forces are not just caught up into murder. There's demonic forces that you deal with every day, people walking around that's caught up in adultery, because he broke it down perfectly, probably better than what he even thought of at the time. We just focused on, like, you know, real brutal killings and people just kill for fun and had no remorse. But there's people that's caught up in adultery that they have no remorse. They go out and sleep with another man's wife, or a woman stepped out on a husband and, you know, had a child by another man, and she has no remorse, no thought for that man or his feelings. She's got another child, and she's by another man, and have this man that's completely oblivious or has no knowledge of it raising this child as his own, and she's cool with it. That's a monster. So there's many monsters that people wouldn't even consider that are monsters, and they consider, like, this is normal behavior. It's normal behavior for a woman to go out and sleep with another man and have a child. You see that on Maury all the time, where these women are going out, they're having children by other men, and then it's like, it's your baby, it's your baby, it's your baby, it's your baby. I'm a 5,000%, I'm a 1,000,000% sure. Then it comes out, you're not the father. And people, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. So, you know, when it goes on to the greater evils, or what people consider the greater evil, because evil is evil, okay, then the scriptures point out what's evil and what's good, and that's part of the problem, is that people aren't dealing with what the scriptures say. They're going according to their mind, and they're allowing certain degrees of evil that fits to their own lust. So this is Kings and Priests. I'm your brother Godawan here in London, and we have another show, another live show, and this show is Monsters. I think we got a couple more brothers going to bring in. I think we got the brother Yuwanathan. Let's bring him on. Brother Yuwanathan, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Giving our praise to the Heavenly Father, in the name of the Son, Christ. Thank you to the listening audience for tuning in for another edition of Repentance.
I think we have Abaja. Where's Abaja? Abaja, is that you?
Yep, that's me.
All right, so Yuwanathan is one of our camp leaders. He's usually going out on the front lines in the highways and the byways and teaching scriptures. And Abaja does a show on Friday nights called Repentance is a Key, for the Body of Christ Radio Network. So, Abaja, good morning.
Good morning. A little glad
how you doing?
I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. It's all praises.
So, like I said, we did a show, and basically we was bringing down all the different scriptures about, and, you know, playing the different clips about how these people, they were doing these diabolical murders and how they were connected and how different demons had a mode of operation. So I just want to play a few clips. It's that one clip about the man cutting off his mother's head and how it was connected to satanic rituals. So let's listen to this.
All right, guys, thanks. A Maywood man convicted of dismembering his own mother will spend 25 years to life in prison. Prosecutors said Moises Meraz Espinosa was 18 when he asphyxiated his 42-year-old mother, dismembered her, and put her body parts in a freezer. 2 days later, he told police about her death. Shooters say there was evidence he was a Satan follower and that the murder was a human sacrifice.
In 2011, death metal music lover Moises Meraz Espinosa was only 18 when he walked into a police station in Los Angeles, California, with the company of several family members to confess the murder of his own mother, Emilia Espinosa. As a practicing Satanist, Moises chose his mother as his human sacrifice victim and slaughtered her on February 2, 2011, to correspond with Candlemas, one of the 15 days a year that Satanists practice human or animal sacrifice. Moises' devotion to Satan could have stopped with his tattoos, which include inverted crosses and three sixes behind one of his ears. But Moises was ready to take things to the next level. He first asphyxiated her, and once she was deceased, he decapitated his mother, removed her organs, skinned her, and cut her into pieces with a circular saw before storing her remains in a freezer. He also pulled out all of her teeth, dug out her eyes, carved two upside-down crosses into the bone of her skull, then put the skull in a backpack. In 2013, at the age of 21, he was sentenced to 25 years to life for this crime. Very risky youth. In 2011, death metal music lover Moises Meraz Espinosa was only 18 when he walked into a police station in Los Angeles, California, with the company of several family members to confess the murder of his own mother, Emilia Espinosa. As a practicing Satanist, Moises chose his mother as his human sacrifice victim and slaughtered her on February 2, 2011, to correspond with Candlemas, one of the 15 days a year that Satanists practice human or animal sacrifice. Moises' devotion to Satan could have stopped with his tattoos, which include inverted crosses and three sixes behind one of his ears. But Moises was ready to take things to the next level. He first asphyxiated her, and once she was deceased, he decapitated his mother, removed her organs, skinned her, and cut her into pieces with a circular saw before storing her remains in a freezer. He also pulled out all of her teeth, dug out her eyes, carved two upside-down crosses into the bone of her skull, then put the skull in a backpack. In 2013, at the age of 21, he was sentenced to 25 years to life for this crime. Very risky youth.
Okay. Then you see a lot of children that's not going to that extreme, but is leading to that. Go to the book of Proverbs, the 30th chapter, 11th verse. These children growing up, and they have no respect for authority. And that was one of the things that Akira said, is that monsters respect no authority. Now, according to the scriptures, does the mother have authority over the children?
Yes, she does.
Where does it tell you that?
Well, tells you that in many places. Number one, it tells you that when it says honor thy father and thy mother in the Ten Commandments,
that's
straight out.
That's good enough for me. The scriptures tell you to honor your father and your mother. Okay, they have the power that's over you. But see, now it's turned upside down in this new satanic age, is where the parents no longer have the authority over children. Children basically, they can call the police on their parents for anything or everything. So it's now like children have become informers in the home, and the parents have no authority to discipline their children or to tell them that they're doing anything wrong. So let's read this in Proverbs 30 and 11.
All right, Proverbs 30:11. There's a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother.
And they see this as something like normal behavior. It's now, oh, you're a teenager. It's normal for teenagers to rebel. Is that normal? Is that normal behavior? Is that normal behavior for you to rebel against a person that's taking care of you, that's feeding you, that's clothing you, giving you a place to stay? Is that normal?
In this world it is, but according to the scripture, that's not normal behavior.
No, it's not normal behavior. You correcting what you're saying, Abadja, because you know why? Because this is a wicked world. This is a wicked, satanic world. It's the prince and power of the air that rules this world. It's not Jesus Christ that rules this world. Get that in 1 John 5:19. There's a generation that curses their father. They all, F you, Dad. You can't tell me what to do. And then how many fathers do you see in the home, especially amongst the so-called blacks and Latinos? It's all broken homes. There's no father in the home to guide the house. Oh, you can't say that. That's misogyny. You're misogynist. You have hatred for women. Why can't a woman be the head of the home? There's an order of things, and they push against the order against the Most High. And that's that no respect and authority. So the father's not respected, and then the mother's not respected either. If the father's not going to respect it, is the mother going to be respected? No. Why should the mother be blessed? Because number one, it's something that I tell to my children, like, your mother carried you around for 9 months. And in this new satanic age, you're like, you know what? I don't want the hassle. You can just go and kill a little sucker. You ain't got to carry in return. You don't have to put them up for adoption, nothing. Just go to any clinic, your nearest clinic, and what? Abort the baby. But we know according to the scriptures that what? That's murder, according to the scriptures. So they don't bless their mother. They don't respect their father. So what do? They curse them out. And the stream of that is what? That they put them to death. Those are monsters. But see, there's monsters before they get to the extreme of murder and killing. What do they have? That disrespect, that dishonor for parents, that dishonor for authority. We'll read that in 1 John 5:19. And we'll show what kind of world that we live in. Are we living in a righteous world? Is it a righteous vibration that's going out on a daily basis? Read on.
And Godiron, before I read on,
sure,
we got to look at the other side of that coin too, because yeah, the children are disrespectful, but how did they get that way? You know what I'm saying? Because there were a lot of things, there was behavior that wasn't being corrected when that child was a baby, when they were a toddler, and all of those things that the parents thought was cute, all those little things that parents thought was cute and funny that was not corrected. And now you're wondering why she's pregnant at 15. You're wondering why he's getting in trouble at school at 8, 9, 10 years old. It's not just something that comes out of the blue.
No.
So anyway,
no, it is.
Before I start going down that path, 1 John 5:19, it says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness."
The whole world, the entire world lieth in wickedness. So do we live in a righteous world, a loving world, a God-fearing world? No. The whole world lieth in wickedness. So that's a very strong vibration. You know, we're supposed to be teaching our children to do what's right, teaching our children to respect authority. And let's get that in Romans 13, because the Bible tells you to respect authority. But Satan's going to tell you not to respect no authority, whether it be your mother, whether it be your teacher. And you're having these children rise up now and basically put teachers to death. You know, my children go to school, I'm like, you respect the teacher like you respect me, because the scriptures tell you to fear every man his father and his mother. So you're supposed to have that honor for your elders. Well, people don't have honor for, you know, old or young. They see someone old, move out the way, old lady. I'm getting on the bus first. Like, I see an old lady, like, you know, help on the bus with her bags or whatever. Yeah, baby, You know, that's what you're supposed to do. That's honorable. But see, honor is no longer honor. It's who can be the thug, who can be the grimiest, who can be the most evil. Oh, I got you shook. There is no respect for old or young. There is no respect for authority. So read that in Romans 13.
All right, Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no power but of God.
There is no power. Let every soul be subject. Subject means to give power, authority unto another. So every soul be subject to the higher powers. Those that serve in power and authority are supposed to be subject unto them. Read on. Because who set them up? The Most High set them up. I remember this years ago, and one of the elders in the church, he was like, what do you mean? Well, I think it was either Clinton or Bush. He was like, well, you're supposed to listen to Clinton? You're supposed to pray for Clinton? Like, this is what the scriptures say. You know, you pray for the peace of the city. Pray for all those that are in authority. You're supposed to pray for them? I'm like, yeah, that's what it says. And come to find out, in the Old Testament, they find out with a priest, they were praying for one of these wicked kings. Why? Not for their prosperity so they can worship other gods and so that they can have peace in worshiping their God, worshiping the Most High God, the God of the Hebrews, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So read on.
It says, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Read on.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
So that means you, if the police pull you over and say, pull over, let me see your driver's license registration, you're like, nah, I'm not showing it to you. You pull me, give me your driver's license registration. And you'd be, every encounter that I've had with the police, I'm following the scriptures. Every encounter I've had with the police, I've never had a bad experience. Why? Because I'm following. It's going to tell you why. It's going to tell you why. When you as a man are following the commandments of the Most High, you're not going to have a bad experience when encountering the police. Read on.
All right. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil.
So rulers are not a terror to good works. So the good works is what the scriptures say. That's the good works. If you honor your father and your mother, the ones that set up in this world, they're not going to be a terror to that. If you're not a thief, they're not going to be a terror to that. If you're not an adulterer or a murderer, they're not going to be a terror to that. They can't be. Because when you do the good works of what the scriptures are saying, it silences the foolishness of ignorant men. But more and more, will you see people, they're trying to come up against the authority. They're trying to fight the government. Or like, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to pay no taxes. Then what? You find yourself in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're trying to fight the police. You find yourself in jail. But if you follow the commandments of the Most High, you're always going to be safe. Like, oh, why, you know, weed is an herb. God made weed. So you know what? That's a natural thing. God made me to have it. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to smoke it. I'm going to do whatever. They can't say nothing to me. Then you find yourself in jail, and you curse the police. But the scriptures already told you to what? To obey the authority. But what? Monsters obey no authority. No authority, whether it be a church authority, whether it be teachers as an authority, whether it be fathers or mothers as an authority. Monsters obey no authority. They sure don't obey what the scriptures say. And that,
so he was saying, is he still here?
Yeah, and that should show you a clear sign when people are like that. They've got a monster living within them. So go ahead, you wanted to say something, John, before I continue on.
No, brother, I thought you was disconnected. Because
okay.
What you was bringing out is exactly right. I mean, the monsters of our
mm-hmm.
people and the actions and things that we're doing is all because we reject the Lord and His Son Christ, and now we're in these conditions. So back to you, brother.
Right, I've got this clip. And matter of fact, let's go to Galatians. Galatians 5. Excuse me. Galatians 5 and 19.
All right. Galatians 5, 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
So all these things, it says the work of the flesh, but all these things are evil spirits that get on people, that people allow themselves to be possessed and controlled by, but they're all monsters in their own right. See, we were looking at the extremes, how, and showing the connections, how these people had no remorse. They would kill on a whim. They killed for a joke. Like you have those people doing what the knockout game. Here's a person, never done anything, you never see them in their life, and you there knocking them out, and then some people dying from it. That's a monster. Okay, and one of the things it says there, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. You know how people just destroy their whole family for an adulterous relationship and don't give a damn about it, don't have no remorse for the other person, don't have no remorse for the other spouse or the children, or the reputation of their family, they could care less. So I've got a clip that I don't want to play, and this is from a movie, a Tyler Perry movie. Now I'm not a fan of the Tyler Perry movies and Madea and that whole cross dressing thing, but in this there was no cross dressing, and it's called The Family That Prays, and basically the woman is having an affair with her boss, and the man is completely oblivious. He has no clue what is going on. And when he finds out and the woman tells him, like his friend tells him, look, man, the woman is sleeping around on you. He's like, huh? Even at that point, he doesn't know. And the woman like kind of confesses. So let's listen to this, and let's see, is this a monster? Or it's just people that kill people, they're just the monsters. Let's listen.
He what kind of position it puts us in?
No.
He needs to know this. Car payment, mortgage, and no job?
No, I don't.
I was doing fine. We're on our feet.
Maybe this is just a sign. Maybe we can come to our room.
There's no
still talking about this. Listen to me. Get your head out of the clouds. It ain't gonna happen. This ain't no damn sign. It's over. Man, look, I already made some moves.
Sure. You made moves, man. You ain't got no money.
So it's either you're in or you're out.
What kind of moves you make? You ain't got no
Chris, what the hell?
Hey, baby. Listen, let me explain, okay? I took all the money out of the bank.
I know that.
I opened up a business account, and we're going to go into business for ourselves.
You did what?
And I got fired today. I just think that's a sign that we should just go into business on our own.
That is my money.
Yeah, but we're in this together, though, right?
No, I'm in this. You go get my money back.
It's a little bit too late. The majority of the deposits already went out this morning.
You bastard! You just take my money without asking me?
No, baby, this is going to work out for the best. Trust me on that, okay?
You know what? I am getting so sick of you. I'm so tired of supporting this whole family by myself. I thought a man was supposed to help a woman. You are so weak. Both of you.
Today ain't the day, and I ain't the one. You understand me?
What you gonna do with your broke ass?
That's a broke ass trick.
You go to hell.
Look, man, this is my wife you talking to.
I mean nothing to her, Chris.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, Ben. What is that supposed to mean?
You better get this.
Okay.
You better get a baby.
That's what I thought.
But your ass, just drop it.
You stole my money.
Baby.
Even this loser will never be William Cartwright.
From one. Ain't nobody trying to be no damn William Cartwright. You understand me? But you can't see that because you're so busy on his lap every night, right? Oh, come on, man. What were you talking about?
Chris, man,
come on. Everybody know, man. They know. They're talking about you behind your back at the site. Everybody know.
Baby, what is he talking about?
Come over here for a second. What is he talking about?
He's shitting me right now. All that money you stole from me was given to me by William.
Why would he give you so much money?
Because he's my man, Chris.
And you've been doing this a whole while.
You know what? Keep that money. There's plenty more where that came from. In fact, you know what? Here's some more. You go buy yourself some boxes and get your stuff out of my house.
5 years we've been married and you talk to me like that. Now we got a son. What are you going to tell him, huh?
My son is Cartwright.
Okay. Brothers, is that a monster? Or she got to kill somebody first?
Definitely actions and deeds of a monster. Definitely not a woman.
That's a monster. Now, what I want to point out is, because at one point, you hear once the man find out that the woman is, in adultery, he smacks her. Now, the scripture says that we're not supposed to be no striker. So we don't condone that, you know, you find out that your wife has committed adultery on you, you're not supposed to beat her. As painful as that might be, as that may be, then you're not supposed to be striking or hitting your wife. But the deception was so strong and powerful, the man was completely oblivious. Even in the man, his best friend is telling him, look, man, Chris, look, man, don't you understand? She damn sleeping with another man. He's like, what? He's like, he had to hear it from the wife. So, first of all, let's go to Proverbs 30:20. Because remember, a monster has no remorse. It has no empathy. It has no feelings for the other person. It doesn't have feelings for people. So read Proverbs 30:20.
All right. Proverbs 30:20.
Mm-hmm.
It says, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness.
So when it says, such is the way of an adulterous woman, she eateth and wipeth her mouth. What is she eating? Hot dogs?
She sure did.
What is it talking about? What is it talking about? She eating for... What is she eating? Come on, brothers, help me out. Let's get some understanding on this. She eateth and wipe of her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, she's out there committing adultery against her husband. And act like you know what? I ain't doing nothing. It's your fault.
And isn't that what the man said to you the whole time? You making me think that I'm crazy. So what it is spin tactics. It's spin tactics where
The woman's putting different things and putting the blame on the man and making the man feel guilty, making the man feel bad, making the man feel down and everything. You're not this, you're weak and all that. But at the whole time, who's really at fault here? Was it the man that was at fault?
No, he had some fault. He had his own faults, but that didn't justify what she did because she was a monster.
Yeah. You wanted to say something. You wanted something. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it was the woman that was at fault. She knew what she was doing, and she's bold in what she was doing and could care less. She put herself before everything, before the Most High, before Christ, before the definition of marriage and what the Heavenly Father requires of a marriage, everything, for her own lust, for her own grief, for her own pleasure. That's now gone like the last minute's win, but that's what she did.
So you hear the man, and he's like, you know, he's trying to get his own business. He's trying to further himself. And what was her position on him trying to make things better for himself and his family? What was her position on that? What was her feeling on it?
Her expectations of him were, given the circumstances, were not necessarily realistic. And that's the thing about monsters is that they look for external factors to justify their behavior. You know what I'm saying? So she's looking at the dude that she was sleeping with, her boss or whatever, and all the money that he has and so forth and so on, and she's looking at the failures of her husband, and that was just justification for her to be dealing with that dude and just to carry on the facade.
Well, that's the thing. He wasn't a failure. He had a job. He had a job. But see, it wasn't good enough. It's like the word you always use, Abaja. She thought she had a come up. But I wanted to look at this. Go to Ecclesiasticus 25 and 23. Because I hear this. I hear, because what she said, both of y'all weak. They're weak. Why? Because they were construction workers. And a lot of women, especially amongst our community, is like, if you're not a multimillionaire, if you're just middle class or you have a job but you're not a CEO or COO or whatever, then you're weak. So let's see what kind of women are talking that kind of game. Ecclesiastes 25 and 23.
Okay. It says, a wicked woman abateth the courage, maketh an heavy countenance, and a wounded heart.
So a wicked woman abateth the courage. So here's the man, he's trying like, yeah, you know what? I see opportunities, you know, I can start my own business. No, I don't think you can't do it. You can't do it. That's abating the courage. Here's the man trying to go out and make some moves for his family, and what are you going to do? You're going to be a discouraging force. That's a monster. That's a monster. A wicked woman abateth the courage. So here's the man trying to go out and do something and make moves for his family. And what? She's discouraging. How many men are dealing with damn forces that's like that? Those are monsters. Those are demons. Here you're trying to do good for your family. Like, yeah, I've got an opportunity, and this is going to be good. No, I don't think you should do it. Huh? I remember this guy telling me. He had an opportunity to get something. It was a legitimate opportunity, and it was like he's going to get like 50,000 pounds. But it was the same thing here, where the woman was abating the courage, like, no, you shouldn't do it, and this is going to happen. And what happened? What? The opportunity passed, and the guy was damn, you know, he was vexed. He was vexed because he listened to the woman, you know, that wicked woman. It is exactly what he had. He had a heavy countenance and a wounded heart. So read on. Ecclesiastes 25 says, and 23.
A woman that will not comfort her husband in distress maketh weak hands and feeble knees.
So she's calling the man weak. She's making the man weak because the woman is supposed to be a pillar of rest. And now another thing that was said in that is that I thought a man was supposed to help a woman. Well, let's see what the scripture says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. Is a man supposed to help a woman? Matter of fact, let's go to the beginning, bro. Before we go to Corinthians, let's go to the beginning of the book, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Go to the book of Genesis.
It's supposed to help a woman.
Genesis 2:18.
Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him.
So,
can we read on?
Who was supposed to be the help meet for him? Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians 11 now. See, a lot of women, they may not accept this, they may not want it, but hey, this is what the scripture says. You can like it or leave it. That's your choice. But the scriptures are going to remain the same.
All right. 11:3?
Nope. 11:8.
All right. 1 Corinthians 11:8. It says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man.
Well, the man is not of the woman is of the man. Read on.
Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man.
So who's supposed to help who?
She's supposed to help him.
Right. The woman was made for the man, not the man for the woman. And so you see that in the book of Genesis where the woman went off and did her own thing, and then the man followed her into madness, where the woman was supposed to follow the man under the authority of the Heavenly Father. And that's where you see that in 1 Corinthians 11:3. But what do they see in this new satanic age? And it's not really a new satanic age. It's old age Satanism disguised in new age practices. But it's the same Satanism that's been from the beginning, from the garden. You could be God, you could be this, you could be that, but really what you really are is a damn monster. You commit an adultery on your husband and act like you ain't did a damn thing wrong, you're a monster. That's what you are. You're a monster. You destroy your family. No, see, you would have paid more attention to me and my child. No, you're a monster. Because you'd have no respect or authority, no respect for the authority of the Most High or His commandments. So what's going to be the end of a woman like that, that's unrepentant? Let's get Ecclesiastes 23:22.
All right. Ecclesiastes 23:22. Thus shall it go also with the wife that leaveth her husband and bringeth in an heir by another. It says, for first she hath disobeyed the law of the Most High, and secondly she hath trespassed against her own husband, and thirdly she hath played the whore in adultery and brought children by another man.
So in that clip, what was that woman according to the scriptures?
As an adulteress. Oh, and a whore.
Yeah. Adulterous
whore. Ho, ho, ho. And it ain't Santa Claus coming to bring Christmas presents. She's a whore. She's a whore caught in the act of adultery. And, you know, some of them, what about the man? What about the man? The scriptures tell you about the man. It says the adulterer and the adulteress. So it takes two. Well, a lot of times what happens is that women, they fall right into that Proverbs 30:20. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and say, I have done no wicked. He was working late. He was working too much. Or he wasn't making enough money. He didn't pay enough attention to me and my child. I have done no wickedness. That's a monster. See, monsters don't necessarily have to kill. But they still destroy families, hearts, minds. Like it says, make it a heavy countenance and a wounded heart. Monsters are very real, and they are on people that you see every day. Most people can't see. Most people can't see the monsters because they're monsters themselves. They're adulterers themselves. They're covetous. They're lustful. They're envious themselves. They got monsters in them. So it says what? This woman, she done left her husband, brought in an heir from another. She's disobeyed the law of the Most High, which is what? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Then she's done trespassed against her husband. And then she's played the whore. She's a whore. Oh, you don't call a woman a whore. No. If you doing what it says, you know, a duck is a duck. A cat is a cat.
Right.
If it walks like a duck, talk like a duck, eat like a duck, guess what it is? It's a duck.
Banged up.
If you laying down with another man, you bringing in a child by another man, you just stepped out on your husband, guess what? You a whore. That's what the scriptures say. So read on. Verse 24.
All right. 24. It says, she shall be brought out into the corner, into the congregation, and inquisition shall be made of her children.
What does it mean that inquisition shall be made of her children?
Well, basically. And, go ahead, I.
Inquisition shall be made of her children. Okay, who's your father? Ask the child, okay, who's your father? When was you born? And then people can put together what happened. Did this woman commit adultery? Did this is this her husband the father of this child or what? You can find those things out, just like they do now. Go to court, take blood tests and all this other stuff. It's the same thing even now. You look at, okay, back then they didn't have blood tests, but you can look and see, okay, this, you know, and now they got the test to a T. Now you DNA and find out, look, this woman was a whore, an adulterer. You know, we got to judge her accordingly.
So now it's confirmed that she's got one child by another man. The other children that's supposed to be between this man and this woman, is going to be a question is going to be asked now. Is these your children? So I got the one. Remember we did the show about you caught in adultery, and the woman had three children, and all the three children, and they were all different ages. Not one of the child was the man's child, and it was the same thing. And it was like, do you got anything to say? She was like, no, I ain't got nothing to say. And so it was like, Maurice, look at you. Sure you have nothing to say? And usually he's kind of like liberal, like, you know, don't take it out on a woman, blah, blah, blah. She made a mistake, blah, blah, blah. He was like, you sure you have nothing to say? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry, Al. Three children, huh? Three children.
Wait,
so an inquisition now has to be made because there's no shame in this woman. There's no remorse. The inquisition, now, wait a minute. Hold on. Are these the rest of the children that you have or supposed to have, are these your children? So verse 25. Mm-hmm.
But Godama, you know what the excuse was, right?
What's that?
The excuse was, well, we weren't together during that time when I went and dealt with so-and-so. And
you
then
know,
she
I,
got back
what?
With her man.
I don't even deal with that. Because most people, they're like, okay, they have a five-second argument. I don't like you. Guess what? Ding-a-ding-a-ding. We had an argument.
Yep.
You know, or we have problems.
Mm-hmm.
Are you serious? There's no, I understand what you're saying, but there's no excuse for it.
I wouldn't justify it at all.
I know you wasn't justified, but there's no excuse. They try to, like, what you're saying is, like, some people, they're like, okay, we had a break. And that may be true. There may have been a separation. But even in that, what does the scripture say when you have a separation and you're married?
That you still bound.
Yeah, you're still bound by that marriage. Even though you separated from your spouse, you're still married. But in this world, it's like, well, we were... we were separated, we were legally separated, and that means that we're not bound. That's not true.
Uh-huh.
That's not true. Let's get that. No, matter of fact, let's finish that. Finish what we have here in Ephesians, and then we'll get that in Corinthians 7.
Okay. It says that her children shall not take root, and her branches shall bring forth no fruit.
Go ahead.
She shall leave her memory to be cursed, and her reproach shall not be blotted out.
Right. So in the Old Testament, that was it. That was it. Her children shall not take root, because what was going to happen was, it's like, okay, these are children of adultery. Now, in the scriptures, what most people don't know is like, from your father, you get inheritance amongst the Israelites. So who was going to claim them? It was like, not my child. So they couldn't take root anywhere. They couldn't have an inheritance. Nobody was going to claim them. And then who was going to marry their child? What upstanding Israelites or God-fearing parents going to marry their child to an adulterous woman's child? Would you do it, Abacha?
Back then, no.
Back to see, and this is why it's the beauty of the Most High in Christ, where people that's truly repentant and sorry, that confess and forsake their sins, can get repentance under Jesus
uh-huh.
Christ. Back then, there was no mercy. There was
nope.
no mercy. If she escaped getting stolen, she was always going, that's that old hole right there. That's the clear of her and her child and her children. That's old so-and-so child. That might be this person's child. That might be she'd have been served up with the whole damn village.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't going to be blotted out. But through Christ, those things can be blotted out. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 7, because it's like you said, people make their excuses. We was on a break.
Uh-huh.
Just going
further into the mercy of Christ. Some of us are those children of an adulterous relationship.
Yeah.
Some of the very people that hear this word and repent are those children that came from adulterous and unholy relationships, but through the mercy of Jesus Christ have the same opportunity to receive the kingdom of heaven by submitting themselves to Christ. That's mercy, man.
Yeah.
That's the mercy and the blessings of the Most High.
And you know what else?
Go ahead, you go first.
You know what else also, Abacha? Like you said, a lot of children that's going to come out of that. Not only just that, not just the children, but even somewhere down the line, even us as a people, down our line of our families, this happens. So in essence, we all come out of that. Somewhere, if you research, somewhere down each of us family line, this is what happened to us. It might not be this generation. It might have been 3, 4, 5 generations back. But the bottom line is that we all is messed up because we left off the wisdom. We gave into our lust. Our men chiefly, our women chiefly, have become monsters. And then, but from generation to generation, the Lord allows us mercy and let us repent as an individual. And whoever chooses to fear the Lord, the Heavenly Father said, let that person, let that sheep hear my voice, and let that person come. And I make
uh-huh.
that person precious, like the Lord says, you make a man more precious than gold. And that's the purging of the Lord, and that's repentance.
Absolutely. All good points, brothers. You definitely need to bring that out, you know, because you just think, oh, it's hitting hard against women. So we show the mercy that's in Christ in that. Maybe there are people that's been caught up in those situations, men and women, but there is repentance through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, awesome points. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 7 and read verse 10.
7 and 10. 1 Corinthians, it says, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband.
So the commandment of the Most High is that, you know, from the beginning, man and woman are supposed to be one flesh. So it's not supposed to be any kind of like, this is my bank account and that's your bank account. One flesh is one flesh. What is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. We're together. We're one body. I'm one person. I got one bank account. So if I'm one person, my wife is one flesh with me, what I have is hers. What she has is mine. And there's no like separation. Like you hear in the clip, that was my money. That was my money. Go ahead.
All right. It says, verse 11, but, and if she depart,
we're on a break.
Remain...
We're on a break. We separated. We're having problems. But if she depart, read on.
Let her remain unmarried.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Let me put some scriptures in it. Let her remain unmarried. What does that mean? Does that mean she's supposed to be dealing with somebody else? Is it okay?
That means no.
We're on a break. See, the scriptures is clear. There is no doubt. There is no uncertainty. The scriptures are sure. See, people are unstable in their minds. Why? Because they're not dealing with the scriptures. The scripture says that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our tongues. This is what keeps us stable. This is what keeps us sane. This is what keeps us upright. It's the scriptures, the word of the Most High in Jesus Christ. So you can be on a break, but you can't see nobody else. You might have problems in your marriage where you're like, you know what? I'm going to a hotel, motel, Holiday Inn because this woman is crazy or this man is crazy. But the scripture says what? You can't deal with nobody else. Read on.
Let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband.
Read on.
And let not the husband put away his wife.
And let not the husband put away his wife. So there had to be a reconciliation. Now, we know for, like, those that are in Christ, is like this person, they weren't believing, and they didn't want to deal with what the scriptures are saying, then what did it say? The unbelieving, let the unbelieving depart. A brother or sister is not in bondage in certain cases. Or you got a man that's beating you upside the head, and he ain't going to, he need to be in jail. You don't need to be married to him. You're not in bondage in such cases like that. You know, so we ain't talking about you got to stay with a man. The man is abusive, and he's whooping you, he's beating you, and he's beating you, and he's whooping you. You got to stay with him no matter. No.
Don't get.
We already said the scripture says you're not supposed to be a striker. You're not supposed to be striking your wife. The scripture says man's supposed to be prepared. The love that he had for his wife is like the love that Jesus Christ had for the church, and he was ready to lay down his life for his wife. Even as Christ laid down his life for the church. That's the love that a husband is supposed to demonstrate. Because love is not a word. Love is something that you do. That's what it says in 1 John 3:18. My little children, love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's what it's supposed to be. But a woman stepping on her husband and think she ain't done nothing, that's a monster. Now, a lot of women talk about, what about the man? What about the man? What about the man? We're going to take a short break, and we're going to show you what about the man. What about the man? Is he a monster if he steps out on his wife?
Well, you're a bigger monster.
You're a bigger monster.
Yeah. Because the Lord gave him the charge to lead the family, so... That's why when you just go right back to the beginning, that's why the Lord dealt with Adam the way that he dealt with Adam, because he knew better and he had the charge to head that household.
All right. We're gonna take a break and we're gonna come back. But is there such thing as a beautiful monster?
All my life. I've never seen anyone like you. You're a knife, sharp and deadly, and it's me that's cut into. But I don't mind. In fact, I like it. Don't terrify, I'm scared of you. Oh, she's a monster.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake. On Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m., if you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Welcome back to Kings and Priests, and our show today is monsters. You know, monsters or destructive monsters that have no remorse, no kindness, and a lot of people, they're dealing with monsters every day. Your boss may be a monster, your wife may be a monster, your son and daughter may be a monster. But it's not as obvious as what you think. Because if you break the commandments of the Most High, then you open up yourself to what is called demonic forces. And a lot of people, they don't believe that. But they see the evil every day and don't understand that these things are satanically inspired and they're controlled by Satan. For a woman to go out and commit adultery, or a man to go out and commit adultery with another man, those people are the monsters. For a man to covet after another man's things, those people are monsters. So it's the works of the flesh that lead you down a path to destruction, which Satan is taking you on, but you allow and open yourself up. So there's nothing beautiful about monsters like they try to show in these different movies and things. Oh, the vampires are they're sparkly like angels. That's going right with the scripture says how Satan has transformed himself into an angel of light. It's a trick. But we're here to dispel the illusions and to break down the lies and show you the truth. Can you handle it? Because you may look in the mirror and you may see a monster. So we give all praises to the Most High and Jesus Christ. But in saying that, you can defeat and overcome, and you can kill that monster by mortifying the deeds of the flesh. So a lot of people, they look in the mirror, they don't like what they see because what they see is that monster or that evil or that wickedness that is within them. How easy it is for a woman to go out and she's got a husband at home. He's done nothing wrong to her. He's feeding, clothing, taking care of the family. They're on a good relationship, everything, you know.
and she go out and deal with another man. It's like, how can you deal with that? You know, what do? Some people commit suicide. Some people kill themselves, and that's Satan's mission, for you to kill yourself, or you destroy yourself, or you destroy your family. But we're here to bring out the truth and show you a better way. So one of the things we was talking about, we was dealing with the woman about how the woman committed adultery. And one last scripture I wanted to get on that. Let's go to Proverbs 6 and 27. This does deal with the man. And this deals with both, I think it deals with both sides of the coin. It deals with the man that's committing adultery, and then it's the man that finds out that, you know, adultery has been committed with his wife. What would be his feeling? What would be his thoughts? So let's read Proverbs 6 and 27.
All right. Proverbs 6, 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?
Can you take fire in, you know, fire, someone set your body on fire, you not be burned? Huh?
Nah.
Unless your name is Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, then the answer is no. Read on.
Mm-hmm. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?
Question. Can one not go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Read on.
So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent.
So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whoso toucheth her shall not be innocent. Meaning, there's nothing you can say, well, they was having problems or this, or, you know, he was, like, what does scripture say in Proverbs? Oh, he's on a faraway journey, and he shall not come back until the appointed time. You shall not be innocent. Read on.
Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry.
Mm-hmm.
But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house.
So it says what? Don't despise a thief if he stole because he's hungry. So I remember there was a case where a guy stole a piece of pizza, and basically that was his third strike, and he's now got life in prison. So he was hungry, you know. So you're not supposed to despise a thief if he stole for his hungry. But look, stealing is wrong. The scripture says, "Thou shalt not steal." You should have asked, like, "Look, man, you know, I'm hungry." You know, one guy walked up to me. Now this was a few months back, and he's like, "Look, I need some money." I'm like, "Man, I ain't get." He looked homeless. And you know, some homeless people they want money for their drugs. So I was like, "Look, dude, I ain't give you no money." But I was like, "If you hungry, I'll buy you some food." And he was like, "Yeah, right there." He pointed to the shop where they made food. And so, like, okay, I went in there. And as soon as I got in there, he said to the guy, "Yeah, hook me up with my regular."
Oh, wow.
So the dude wanted a whole chicken. He's like, "Yeah, you know how I like it." So I paid for the chicken, and I bounced. He's like, "Yeah, thank you very much." So there's always a better way to do things. But Satan wants you to cloud your mind, to just do evil's only answer. So it said, don't despise a thief if he's hungry, you know, but the man still had to make restitution. He had to pay back. He had to restore. Even for him to restore, he had to give everything that was in his house. He had to make that restitution. So verse 32.
And Godiva, you know what? That just goes to show you that there's equity in the laws of the Most High, because
yes,
the laws of the Most High says that, listen, you're not gonna steal. That's you're gonna suffer the consequences if you break my commandments. But see, the equity is that you had the opportunity to ask and get that lawfully. Okay. Mm-hmm. And even more so, the equity as far as where the law would not, like, you know, the law was the law and that was it. The equity comes in through the understanding of Christ, to where, okay, you know what, this situation, you still steal. Okay, ain't no two ways about it. But guess what? The Lord gives us mercy in the fact that
now he's going to put the spirit on people to help us so that we're not stealing.
Right.
Because now you got people dealing in the spirit of charity. When they see their brother or their sister down, it's like, you know what? I'm going to help you out so that you're not transgressing the laws of the Most High. That's equity, man. Mm. That's equity. And not only that, because it's not about, you know, opening up a soup kitchen and just helping the homeless. You don't see that in the scriptures. Because they were dealing with people that were keeping the commandments that had fallen on hard times. Mm-hmm. That's really what it was about. Because I ain't going to just sit there and open up a soup kitchen and just feed everybody, and they're just going on back to their drugs, back to their whatever it was that they were doing. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's just a constant thing. It's like, no. Because we've been out, you know, sometimes when people have come up to us, you know, same story, hey, I need some money for some food. Okay, well, I'll buy you something. Well, I don't want that. I don't want this. Just give me the money and I'll go get what I want. How about you take your butt on down the street? How about that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there are ways to deal with situations, but I didn't want to get off from where we what we were dealing with. But I'm going to read verse 32. It says, "But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul."
Right. And so that's what happens when you're dealing with the spirit of Satan, is for you to destroy yourself. Satan isn't like, oh, I'm setting up a plan for me to destroy you. He wants you to destroy yourself. He wants you to commit suicide. He wants you to curse the Most High. Because he can't force you to do anything, it's you that have to do it. So it says, whoso committeth adultery with a woman, lack of understanding. What understanding do you like? The understanding of the Most High. That what? Number one, that's wrong. Number two, that's breaking the commandments of the Most High. It broke down the whole list. You transgressing against the Most High, you transgressing against your neighbor, and you transgressing against your own soul. It's like a triple threat. So read on.
And you know what, Godiva? See, looking back at verse 30, where it says, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Guess what? Men won't despise an adulterer. Because what? We come up with reasons in our own mind of why it was okay for him to step out on his wife, or why it was okay for her to step out on her husband. And they didn't deal properly. People come up with their own justifications for breaking the commandments of the Most High, rather than staying in the commandments of the Most High and dealing according to how the Lord told us to deal.
Absolutely. Read on.
You're going to suffer the consequences. So I'm going to read on. Verse 33, it says, "A wound and a dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away."
Go ahead.
"For jealousy..."
What's the wound? What's the wound?
We're about to read it.
Go ahead.
It says, "For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance."
And that's what, if you listen to that clip, when I played the clip, it says, matter of fact, let me play this clip. Let me play. Read the scripture through.
Okay.
Keep reading. Read 35, because I want to explain something. Then I want another clip, because the woman said something about the guy, Chris. And basically, this is what it is. It's for the jealousy of the rage of man. But read 35.
"He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts."
So a thief could restore. Can you restore this?
Hell no.
No, you can't restore. This is something you can't. It don't care how many gifts you give. This said, look, the thief could restore sevenfold. And it says he would give all his household. He would give all the substance. If the man gave all the substance of the household, would that be enough?
No.
To pay back for the adultery?
No.
No.
There would be nothing that you could do once that bond is broken. Like, look, man, I'm sorry. There's nothing you could do. You give many gifts. There's no gift you can give to give back. You defiled another man's wife. There's no ransom. It says he will not regard any ransom. neither will he rest content. Because I've seen cases, I'm talking about personal cases. I'm not talking about TV. I'm not talking about video. I'm not talking about the Maury Show, where women just come out and say, well, get over it. Why? Because the man's not content. People, you know, that you people try to stay together after that, well, we're going to repair the marriage and it's going to be better. No. The man ain't going to ever forget. The man ain't going to forget it. The woman ain't going to forget it. But we're talking about the man. The man ain't ever going to forget, like, yo, another man. You allowed another man in between your legs. That's going to be, that image is going to be in his mind. He's laying with his wife. He's not going to rest content. He's not going to be happy. So what? There's going to be problems. There's nothing you can give. Mm-hmm. Nothing you can say. It's like, well, some people make it, blah, blah, blah. What I'm dealing with the scriptures. He will not rest content. That thing's going to be, you might be able to put it to the back of your head, but it's never going to go away. He will not rest content. So somebody want to say something about his people like in the background.
Yeah, if I could, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, about this this whole adultery, this whole sin in the sight of the Heavenly Father, because the Heavenly Father puts, he puts it clear in this verse, in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. It's an honor and righteousness in the sight of the Heavenly Father for a wife not to go into adultery, for a man to not to go into adultery, to not to be in concupiscence and all sexual acts and desires for a man and for a woman. In the sight of the Heavenly Father, to hold yourself with honor and sanctification is to abstain from that, not to indulge in that. But this side of the world that hates the Heavenly Father and the Son of Christ, it thinks that it's a joke. I can't tell you the number of times I'm at work and men talk about someone sleeping with their wives like that's a joke, you know, or it's okay to talk about someone else's wife that's going out and having sex with another man like it's a joke, like it's cavalier, like it's a cup of water. And in the sight of the Heavenly Father, these scriptures are showing that a man will have no remorse. A man will be full of anger. And then here, in the scriptures, the Lord saying this is his will, that we not to do these things. You know, when are we going to add that up? You know, but we won't, as long as, like how you was bringing out, as long as we think the woman is a goddess and all of those type things. I mean, we coming up on Mother's Day and all of this now, and many of these mothers not being the example of a true mother. And to hold ourselves into the honor of the Heavenly Father is a good thing. And it's a thing that you have to fight for in this world, because wickedness, righteousness seems to be small, but it's of great power. But this world demonizes what is right and exonerates and upholds what's evil. But remember, the honor of the Heavenly Father is to abstain from this wickedness that we're speaking of.
All right. So I want to play another clip from that same movie, The Family That Prays. And basically it's they're having a conversation, like after the fact. The husband smacks the hell out of her because now he's found out that she's been committing adultery for like 5 years. And the son that they supposed to have together is not his son. So let's hear it. Now the mother's talking to her like, you know, what was going on. The mother and the sister talking to her, like, what are you doing?
I can't believe you hit
me.
I've never seen Chris so upset.
Did you hear that?
What was
she saying? Let's listen to it again. Remember, jealousy is the rage of man. Let's listen. Remember, this guy's all cool and like, yo, baby. He's always like, baby, his wife, you know. He's always cool with his wife. He's like, quiet guy. Listen to the clip.
I can't believe he hit me. I've never seen Chris so upset.
This is what the woman
said. Oh, my goodness.
We got a man that all of money that you got, the car you got, the house that this man is living in is paid by another man, and the child that you have belongs to another man, is not yours, when you thought all along was yours? I can't believe he hit me. I've never seen him so upset.
Holy cow.
That's a monster. Why wouldn't you be upset? What she's saying basically is, what his problem is? What's his problem? Why is he upset? What is he mad about? Jealousy is the race of man. You're going to lay down with another man's wife. You're not supposed to be upset or mad. That's what they say in society. So what? She did it. She made a mistake. Don't be mad. If the man do it, they want to lynch him and burn him and castrate him today. The woman do it, like, oh, no. She's got a problem in psychology. She may need drugs. What? A man's not going to rest content. Jealousy is going to be a razor band. So let's hear it out. Let's hear it out what they're talking about.
I've never seen Chris so upset. I'm going to press charges. I love you, Lillian. Start sleeping again. This is not up for discussion. I'm divorcing Chris. And you and Lillian are going to be married.
Well, you are, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, huh?
Just like that. It's not the 60s. That's how it's done now. Aren't we? You are so disrespectful.
So who is she disrespecting? The way how she's talking, who is she disrespecting?
It sounds like she was disrespecting her husband. I could barely hear it, but...
She's disrespecting her husband. She's disrespecting her mother. This is not the 60s. She's disrespecting her mother. Her mother's like, yo, what's going on? This is not the 60s. So the other sister's like, you so disrespectful. How are you going to speak to your mother like that? Because that's a monster. Monsters that have no respect for authority. They have no remorse. So this is her mother. Carried her for 9 months. You know, provided for all her life. And now this is what thanks she gets.
Do you really think that man's going to leave his wife and his child for you? Shut up! Shut up!
Wow.
Yes. He will. Why is that so hard for you to believe? He won't marry you. No more. I'm sure someone told the very same thing to the woman who took Daddy from you. You damn near pushed him in her arms. You have no idea what happened between me and your father. You have no idea. I know that he left us here. He left us and he never came back. Because of you. He left us here struggling and broke. But he went off and remarried and lived well. Yes, he did. He certainly did, but that was 30 years ago, and I let it go. Andrea, you have to let it go now. You cannot build your life on hurts from the past. William is from a different world than you, honey, and he will not marry you. He will. He loves me. What did I go wrong with you? You can't make yourself happy bringing misery to all the people. I see where this is going. Don't do it. Andrea, don't do it. I raised you all to love God and respect other people. What you're up to now is only going to lead to disaster for you. Well, then I'm going to enjoy the ride on the way.
So you hear what she said? The mother told her, like, look, the way you're going is only going to deal in disaster for you. And she said, well, I'm going to enjoy the ride on the way.
Wow.
Because she's wholly given herself over to those demonic forces. So you see, she's just attacking everybody. Anyone that can help her, like her sister and her mother is trying to help her. Like, look, you're going in a way that's really, really bad. You need to rethink your ideas. You need to rethink your life. She's telling her sister to shut up. She's telling her mother she don't know what to talk. This is in the 60s. And look how your marriage and our father left us and you pushed him away. And basically he went somewhere else and lived well. So what is her motivation? Her motivation is what? Money. And see, the thing about it, in this movie, if you watch the movie to the end, you find out that the mother is like a millionaire. So they had money. She was so blinded by her own lust and desires that she couldn't see what she had before. And at the end, once the demon is done with her, and releases her, she sees the man is blessed. He gets his own construction company, everything. And now she's like trying to get with him, get back with him. He's like, nah, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening. See, and that's what happens. People get caught up into these different demonic forces, and then when the demon is done with you, then you have perfect clarity to see everything that you've done wrong. But you destroyed your own soul. You destroyed. Now, I said I was gonna speak about the man in all fairness. You're like, oh, you're just beating up on women. If this is you, you need to repent. This ain't beating you up. What does the scripture says? Faithful are the wounds of the friend. I ain't hit you. I ain't attacked you. I just read what the Bible says. So faithful are the wounds of a friend. If this is you and you're a woman, you need to repent of it. Christ will forgive you, but you got to stop doing the foolishness that you're doing and committing adultery. Stop it. And see, that's where a lot of men have fell off, where they're weak to women, let women do whatever they want to do. No. Even our forefather Adam, instead of saying, woman, you out of your mind with this darn fruit. Didn't the Most High tell you? Get that fruit out of here. That's what he should have did. Oh, I'm going to follow my wife. Yes. She might not give me none tonight. Where that fruit at? That's not what we're supposed to do.
And you know what else, brother?
Go ahead, bro.
I mean, the part that we're speaking on about the women and for, like you're saying, the ones, well, when are we going to get to the man? Well, let's hold up and analyze this. I mean, the scriptures, the edification that's bringing out is hundredfold what we need. It may not pertain to that woman, but guess what? That woman's got this. The women that's listening to this, they got nieces and daughters. Who's to say they might get in that same predicament? So this is the part of us taking this edification and now expounding it and teaching it to our children so now they won't have these situations. So it's not, well, let's get to the man. No, let's take this in. Let's understand this, and now let's spread this same doctrine to our children. So now when they come up with these different battles of lust, okay, because they're going to come. They're going to come in their time. We all going to be trialed. Now they have the understanding. Now they have the sword and the buckler and the shield of Christ. Now they can begin to fight these things and understand it for what it is. Ain't nothing but Satan. Ain't nothing but a lust. Ain't nothing but the same thing that jumped on Judas when Christ said, what thou do is do quickly, and I'm going to fight off of this stuff. I'm not going to be like Judas. I'm going to stay strong, and I'm going to stay righteous and hold myself in sanctification and honor.
Mm-hmm. So let's go to 2 Samuel in 11 and 2. Let's get straight to the point.
Second Samuel 11 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose off of his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon.
So if she's washing herself, what's going on there, bro?
She basically...
She ain't got no clothes on. She butt naked. If she washing herself.
There you go. She washing herself with the clothes on? My man like, damn, baby look good. And doing like Friday, like, damn! That's what David is. Like, he saw a woman washing herself. She's naked. And the woman was beautiful to look upon. So what was David supposed to do? What do the scriptures tell us, brother? How are we supposed to look at this? Come on now.
He was supposed to get the hell on. That's excuse me using that phrase. But basically, he was supposed to walk away. There ain't no peep show.
Exactly. He was supposed to turn away and say, oh, man, that's a sister. What does the scripture say? He's supposed to view a sister with all purity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you view her with all purity?
No, he was going to purify her.
All right,
he was going to take her to Late Minnetonka.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 3.
Verse 3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?
He sent and inquired, like, who is she? You know, who is this woman, blah, blah, blah. Somebody said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? From that point, like, damn, that's why does Christ tell us, like, look, you look at a woman and lust after in your heart, you committed what?
Adultery already.
That's how powerful. You know, people look at the physical. What are we dealing with in the scriptures with Jesus Christ is the spiritual. If you're not dealing with the spiritual, then you're carnal. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but with what? What are we wrestling against?
Principalities, wickedness, and
opposition. Which is another word, demons or monsters. Okay? So did he know that she was married?
He just found out.
Okay.
If he didn't know before, he just found out. And Godwin, furthermore, Uriah the Hittite, that was one. And y'all correct me if I'm wrong. That was like one of the chief guys in his army.
Yes, it was one of the top men.
That was one of his top men in his army that was out fighting the battle. Yeah.
Mighty man. So that wasn't. Not that it would matter, but he wasn't like he was.
Matter.
He was from South Jerusalem. He was just a broke so and so that nobody knew about. He was a top man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's from South Jerusalem. In saying that, this is people say, "Oh, this was old time." No, these things are happening in what they call Christian churches, what they call Israelite churches. Well, you know what? I'm a captain of 5,000, and you're just a captain of 10 troops. I can take your wife. These things are happening today. That amongst people that's supposed to know the commandments, because David knew the commandments, especially as king, they were given a copy of the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
So they can execute righteousness and judgment amongst the people. So he knew exactly what he was doing. Go ahead. This is a heinous crime. Read on.
Oh, very heinous. Verse 4. And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house.
Now, you hear this, fellas? Did you get that point there? Let me see if y'all got that point there. What happened? What happened just there? Besides the adultery, what happened just there? Just like, you know, hypocrisy on top of hypocrisy.
Well, basically, she had just washed herself from having the being unclean for 7 days from her monthly issue or her period. Okay, so people can understand that the issue is what they call it in the scripture. And just going back to, you know, the Old Testament law dealing with that, you know, some of those things pertaining with the Levitical priesthood, and even also just laws of cleanliness. You know, it was just saying that, you know, when a woman started her period, then she was the number 7 days from that start, and then she could go back and deal with her husband. Or
so, bro,
take those things to the temple. Yeah.
So, bro, he going to commit adultery with her, but not on a monthly cycle.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't do that. It's like one brother that, you know, first came in the truth, he was like, he was committing adultery. He was like, I can't commit adultery on the Sabbath.
Right.
That reason is flawed. You shouldn't be, anything that is a sin against the Most High, which is a transgression of the law, for sin is a transgression of the law, you're not supposed to do it. Which reason, I'm not going to do, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to commit adultery, but I'm not going to do it while she's unclean. Come on, man.
You know what, bro, before you read on, when we was talking earlier, but I know we with the men, but, again, taking these lessons for our daughters, because, mm-hmm. I mean, we reason strong women to stand up for Christ. And,
right.
And here's an example. Our daughters can be like, look, get the hell on with that. I'm married, you know? I mean,
right.
This is what we can feel, even though we're talking about the men. But we want our daughters to, even if it was David, and our daughter was like, look, I'm married, David. What the hell is wrong with you? Are you wicked or something? You know, this is how we are raising our women, not to be, oh, okay, whatever you want, you know? Although we're talking about the men here, but this is the mindset that we want our daughters to have, to be strong in the Lord.
But it's like Abijah said. Now, as famous as Uriah was, he was no David, because remember, David has killed his 10,000s. He's king. So basically, he's a come-up, isn't he, Abijah?
Oh, yeah.
You see, like, women, they're like, okay, they're faithful to the husband. The husband is doing the right things. But here come, you know, some music, famous music star or recording artist or movie star or whatever, and then they get weak in the knees. You know, here come, you know, Teddy Pendergrass. You got what I need, and now the woman's done gone off with some singer or whatever. Then once the singer doesn't lay with her, you come back to your husband. He was a come up. He was a king. But, oh, man, I got me a king. Now what? Go ahead. But, Jarvis, you right. You're on the money, what you're saying about, because there are examples in the scriptures of women doing that, you know, I'm not going to step out on my husband, which are powerful examples. So, Rion.
All right, verse 5. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child.
So, what is this woman?
She's bringing in seed by another right now.
What is this woman?
She's an adulteress, a whore.
What is this woman? What is this woman? You a boy, she's a whore. Ho, ho, ho. She's a whore. I'm about to say everything, boy.
She's
a whore.
She's an adulteress and a whore.
women, they do not want to hear that word. They do not want to hear that word. You a whore. She's a whore. She's committed. You're right what you said. She's adulterous, and she's also a whore. Read on. So she's telling David, look, I'm pregnant. We done laid together. I'm pregnant. Where her husband at? In the field, fighting the battle. Read on.
And let's understand something, Goodale. This was some months had passed since this incident, okay? Because we reading it from one verse to the next. But from the time he hit it, okay, the time he laid with her, now it's like, my period didn't come this month. Okay, well, all right, I'll just wait. Oh, it didn't come next month. I'm feeling some changes. Let me go talk to somebody. Well, girl, you pregnant. Oh, my gosh. How did that happen? You was a whore. That's how it happened. What you think? Your husband out in the field. You ain't seen your husband in that same time frame, and you wonder how you got pregnant? Really?
Mm.
Let's read on. I digress.
Okay.
Verse 6. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was coming unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah.
He making small talk like he don't know what the hell he's saying or what he's doing. Like, yeah, how's things going? How's the battles going? You know, how things with Joab, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Verse 8.
He giving him his big dinner. See, all that sort of things like, okay, I'm trying to make up for it, for what I did, and trying to conceal what I did. Go ahead. Verse 9.
Verse 8. I didn't read verse 8. Verse 8 is the doozy. It says, and David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king.
So here's a man Uriah, that's been in the, you know, living in the field, been away from the comfort of his house, his wife. And when once he go home, what you think he's going to do? Just say hi to his wife? Hi, how you doing? He's expecting it. Well, at least David is expecting him to go to his house and deal with his wife. So it will be a cover-up, like, okay, I slept with you. That's my child now. Okay, go ahead.
Wow, you know what? I just realized something here, a part of why Uriah didn't deal with Bathsheba. It was ultimately the Most High, but I'm going to read on and come back to it.
Okay.
It says, verse 8. It says, I'm going to read 8 again. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down to his house.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house?
So it's actually, well, how come you didn't go to your house? I told you to go down to your house. What's going on? We are.
And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing.
So basically what Uriah said, look, it's not fair. It's not fair because he was an honorable man. He's like, not fair for me to go and deal with my wife. He's like, everyone else out there in the field, and they're enduring hardships and everything, and I'm going to come, just me, and go to my house and lay with my wife. And then what? Everybody else in the field burning whatever away from their wife and their children. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. So basically, he's going against the word of the king because he's like, look, if they can't do it, I can't do it either. So what could David say? Because he's right. Read verse 12.
Mm-hmm. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow.
Okay.
And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house.
So he said you get him drunk, he started feeling a little frisky. You know what? Maybe I might go see my wife now. You'd have a few drinks in him. Nope, still didn't do it. We done.
And it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote the letter saying, set ye Uriah at the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die.
So, brothers, is that not monstrous?
Oh, yeah.
Is that not monstrous? I noticed a TV show called The Unit. And in there, you have the man that's the colonel. He's the commanding officer. And then you have the soldier. Basically, the guy is sending the guy away on missions. So he hasn't, like, seen his family for, like, so time. He come from one mission. It's like, okay, you got to go to another mission. Like, almost immediately. He basically see his wife. Yeah, hi, honey, ball, give her a kiss. And he sends him away again so he can deal with his wife. So this guy, but he's setting him up like, okay, I'm all right, you're not going to deal with your wife, so I'm going to send you on a mission, and you're going to die. So now if Uriah dies, people will just think, okay, well, that might have been Uriah's baby. But them people in the palace knew good and well, baby, that there's always somebody that knows something. And that's why the scriptures speak about we're not supposed to allow one another to sin, suffer sin upon one another. We shall anywise rebuke thy neighbor. And a lot of that doesn't get done, especially with adultery. You see, like, well, I saw you out with so-and-so-and-so. That person's not your wife. That person's not your, what the hell are you doing? It's just like, oh, well, keep it on the down. Oh, we friends, so don't tell nobody. Nah, you're supposed to blow up their spot. You're supposed to blow up their spot like, yo, what the hell are you doing? And a lot of people don't do that. Oh, well, listen, girl, I know you're having problems, and he looked good. He got a car, and he got a nice car. Your man, he's old, broke down. He ain't going nowhere. He ain't doing nothing. That's what people do. That's what people do. So this guy came up with a plot to kill Uriah.
Mm-hmm.
Not directly, but indirectly. Even that is, that's monstrous. That's a monster. You know, we know that David wasn't for that, and he repented of it, but he always had problems in his life as a punishment from the Most High. So,
oh, yeah.
I want to, huh?
Oh, yeah, and not only did he have problems in his house, that thing was like, that thing went on for generations.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I want to deal with is animal cruelty. Animal cruelty.
Oh.
And
you talking about that fool that kicked the cat?
Huh?
I said, yeah, that fool that then kicked that, she kicked the cat and launched that cat like 20 feet up in the air and stuff, man.
Well,
it was one of many videos.
Yeah, I've seen that. And I've got this article. I don't want to read this, and then after that, I'll read the scriptures. Because the people that be dealing with that, they're monsters as well. This is a link between animal abuse and serial killers. It says Ted Bundy, David Berkowitz, and Jeffrey Dahmer have more in common than just being serial killers. These three murders also are also connected by the fact that each of them tortured or killed animals during their childhoods. Researchers as well as FBI and other law enforcement agencies nationwide have linked animal cruelty to domestic violence, child abuse, serial killings, and to the recent rash of killings by school-aged children, says Dr. Randall Lockwood, Vice President of Training Initiatives for the Humane Society of the United States. Some children are cruel to and torture animals to impress their peers. But future serial killers usually torture animals for their own enjoyment. Animal abuse is as recognized sign of mental disorder. If a child hurts animals, it should be a red flag. Immediate action should be taken. While there are many factors that contribute to someone becoming a serial killer, the one constant they share is animal abuse. Jeffrey Dahmer showed an intense interest in dismembering animals as a child. And as an adult, he was charged with murdering and dismembering at least 16 people. Dahmer is just one example of this. As a matter of fact, most people who are on death row for murder admit to abusing animals as children. And a study done by Northeastern University and the Massachusetts SPCA found that people who abuse animals are 5 times more likely to abuse humans than people who do not. Albert Schweitzer said it is best when he wrote that anyone who has accustomed himself to regard the life of any living creature as worthless is in danger of arriving also at the idea of worthless human lives. This article is intended to inform but also to help. Any parent who sees this type of behavior in children should immediately seek out help for the child. These are not isolated incidents, as I said. Earlier, almost every serial killer has a history of animal abuse. This is a fact, not a coincidence, yet can go to this link for a more complete list of serial killers who abuse or kill animals as children. I cannot give you the complete list here as there are too many to name, but I will give you a few examples. Albert DeSalvo, better known as the Boston Strangler, used to trap dogs and cats as a child and then shoot them with arrows. Edward Emil Kimmel III was convicted of killing 8 women, one of which was his own mother. When he was 13 years old, he would kill neighborhood cats and put their heads on poles. Kimber killed his own cat, decapitated it, and then cut it into small pieces. This is the same thing he did to his own mother. That's that same demon, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Was convicted of 13 murders and attempted murders. David Berkowitz was convicted of 13 murders and attempted murders. He used to abuse the neighborhood dog. He shot one neighbor's dog because, according to him, the dog was an evil force that compelled him to kill. Ted Bundy, convicted of 2 murders, though he was suspected of at least 40. Bundy used to watch his own father tortured animals. Eventually, Bundy did the same. Andrew Cunanan was the man who killed designer for Versace, and he was suspected in the murders of 5 other people. Cunanan was used to gather crabs and burn their eyes out with a lighted match. He would watch their eyes sizzle, then turn them loose. So people are abusing animals. Those are monsters. And see, the scriptures is clear. The scriptures give us guidelines on how to do everything in life. See, if we follow Christ, you're not going to be abusing animals. Furthermore, it's already written in the scriptures how you're supposed to deal with your animal, deal with other people. You find somebody's animal, shoot and kill it. It's just on my property. Kill it. Poison it. You give it back. Isn't that what the scriptures say? It's in the law. The thing is, laws had to be written for people that was wicked. It's your animal on my property. I do what I want. It's mine now. Finders, keepers, losers, whippers. No, it's not yours. Give it back. That had to be written because people were damn stupid, had no charity, didn't have faith in the Most High, and it was just their own chicken. So read Proverbs 12 and 10.
All right.
Proverbs 12 and 10. In human bodies, man. You should be scared, but that's the thing is people, they're not like the Grimms. See, we like the Grimms, like a TV show. We can see who the monsters are. Like, yo, that person's a damn monster. She damn slept with another man, 3 other men, and then, you know, got a child and saying that it's the man that she with. And she don't see a problem. That's a damn monster. So read Proverbs 12 and 10.
Proverbs 12 and 10. Here we go. It says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel.
It says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. What does that mean?
That means that a righteous man, he's going to consider his beast and tend to that animal's needs.
Right. He's going to take care of it. He's going to be damn torturing the animal. People take pleasure at the pain or suffering of an animal. That's wickedness. That's evil. And it's a constant in serial killers. People that abuse animals, they turn out and they kill people. So that's the very definition of a monster. But also showing, look, jealousy can lead you to becoming a monster. You jealous over somebody or what things they have, or, you know, they may be prospering in their life. That can lead you into being a monster, and that can lead you into being a murderer. Let's go to the book of Genesis.
Okay, which one in Genesis?
It's got to be Genesis 4. Genesis 4, verse 1.
All right, Genesis 4 and 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare again his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
So Abel did well, Cain didn't. Abel brought the correct offering, Cain brought a wicked offering, and then he was upset that the Most High didn't accept him. See, that's something that is commonly seen in people that's monsters, like, what's wrong with what I'm doing? I've done wrong, so what? Why am I being punished for the wrong what I'm doing? And the Most High told Cain, if you do well, won't you be accepted? He says, if not, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire. So who's really lying at the door is Satan. So if you don't do well, Satan is lying at the door, and you're going to do Satan's desire. You're going to do what Satan commands you to do. And he says, and thou shalt rule over him. Meaning Satan's going to rule over him. And let's see where Satan led him. Keep reading.
All right. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
For what? He slew him for what? What did Abel do to him?
Nothing.
He did nothing. What did a monster do? A monster kills on a whim. Isn't that what Akron said? The scriptures prove it. Everything he's saying that's about a monster, you see it in people that commit sin, people that have jealousy, adultery. They're monsters, man. If you're not dealing with the scriptures, the word of the Most High, you know, that monster inside of you will grow and grow and grow and grow and to do something that you can't return back from. That's why you got to curb those things. You got to mortify the deeds of the flesh before it gets to a point where you destroy your own soul. So he just rolls up. Here it is, Abel not thinking nothing. That's Cain. That's my brother. Cain like, yeah, you going to outdo me on a sacrifice. How you get sacrificed? You did well on the sacrifice. What? What did Abel suspect?
Nothing.
Didn't
even see it coming.
He knew about his brother securely. He thought he was secure. He didn't know that his brother was a monster. He didn't know that he was a monster. He thought everything was cool. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Verse 9. Let's see how far the rapture goes.
And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
My God. My God. So now here the Lord is sending the angel of the Lord to confront Cain. He says, Cain, where is Abel thy brother? What did he say? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for him? Are we our brother's keepers?
According to our Lord Jesus Christ, yes, we are.
Yeah. Because you know what? A lot of people use that excuse. Look, if a man couldn't handle his business, he couldn't satisfy his wife, that's not my problem. Instead, you should have been like Joseph. No, I'm not going to do this heinous crime. I'm not going to transgress the laws of the Most High.
Uh-huh.
The man couldn't handle his brother. He couldn't handle his business. So, you know what? I had to take care of him. That's not being your brother's keeper. You know what? His name, he's away. I'm going to take care of his wife. I'm going to take care of his wife while he's gone. So leave from there and go to 1 John 3:10. Because a lot of people's like, well, I'm not a murderer. I never committed no murder or nothing, done anything like that to nobody. Well, let's read 1 John 3:10. Because there are a lot of people, they got that murderous, monstrous spirit of Cain. Where you have people, they're not doing you anything wrong. They're following the commandments of the Most High, and the Most High is blessing them, and you hate them. And you got bad feelings. You're a monster. You need to be watched. You need to be marked. 1 John 3:10.
1 John 3:10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoso doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that is loveth not his brother.
Go ahead. So it says it's manifest who the children of God is and who the monsters are. Who's the children of the devil? Read on.
For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, who slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him?
Because it says not as Cain, who was a damn monster of the devil, Satan, the beast, the 666, the great dragon, and wherefore slew he him? It's actually a question. John's like, why did he slew him? Why did he kill him? Read on.
Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous.
So he's looking at his own works were wicked and what his brother's was doing was right. He was jealous. But the Most High told him, gave him the path, like, look, you can be accepted too. You just have to do well. He didn't want to do well. He didn't want to do well. He want what his brother had. And he didn't want to do what his brother did to get it. Read on, verse 13.
13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you.
Read on.
We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Read on.
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Come on.
Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him.
So where did that begin? Where did the murder begin? It began with hatred. So many people, they're monsters because they have hate in their heart towards their brother. The final conclusion of that is what? Is murder. But through the scripture, we know that what? You don't have to raise up as Cain did and how he slew Abel. If you have hatred in your heart for your brother, you're already a murderer. And it starts from that jealousy. Or this person, they got this, they got that. Or maybe, you know, they're getting along better with their wife or their husband or whatever. And it's just that hatred. The scripture says, whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And no murderer have eternal life abideth in him. So people that are doing that, they're monsters. They're monsters and have to repent. I think we got John back. You want to find?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you,
I was going to say that, okay, and it's Cain, look how he's talking against the Most High. That's truly a monster. The Creator defies right and wrong. The one son brings the best he got with the fat thereof, the best, whatever he had, he gave to the Most High. And the other guy just gave whatever he did. And he had an option to do right. And then now he goes on and just straight kills. Slew, murder, destroy his brother, and it's all that's all this evidence of a monstrous spirit, and it's also evidence the Heavenly Father is fair and just because He didn't make us robots. We all had a choice, and it's evident what Cain chose.
But the thing is, you look at that. I look at that. What did Abel do to Cain?
Nothing.
He didn't do anything to him. He offered up his sacrifice. The Most High accepted his sacrifice. And it's like, he wasn't like picking up, ah, look at you, Cain. Ah, the Most High didn't accept you. Look at you. Uh-huh. You better go pick some more fruits. He didn't do anything like that. He dwelt securely by his brother Cain. And Cain just laid in wait and killed him. You know? And that's something on the stream, which we did on the original show, which you can go back and listen to, From Darkness to Light, Monsters, how you have these young people, they just see somebody, and just, matter of fact, I've got the clip, I'm going to play it, where you have this group of young black males, they see a man, they're mad at a situation, and here's a guy haven't done anything at all to them, and they just rise up and just stomp him and kill him to death. Let's listen to this.
The sheriff's office was called when females started to fight. Before they could get there, men started to fight.
One fellow fell on the ground. Another fellow kicked him. But there was a whole lot of kids around them.
Barbara and Ed Stevens watched the brutal attack from their bedroom window.
I just thought it was hurt. I never thought that his life was ended.
A neighbor started this memorial for 18-year-old Bobby Tillman of Douglasville. Sheriff Phil Miller told me one of the teens at the party said, the next guy that comes by, there's going to be a fight. The next guy was Bobby Tillman.
Little guy, 18 years old, 5'6", weighed 125 pounds, came walking by, and they beat him up and stomped him and killed him.
19-year-old Horace Coleman of Forest Park, 18-year-old Emmanuel Boykins of Douglasville, and 18-year-old Quantas Mallory of Douglasville are all charged with murder. There were so many young people at the scene that deputies loaded them into a bus and brought them to the sheriff's office. The West Metro NAACP says parents of juveniles may not have been notified. Clay Mitchell told me that he was looking into how the authorities handled the investigation.
We brought 57 witnesses up here, and that made some people mad. But our job was to control the situation, make sure we could interview all those witnesses and get the information that was necessary to provide the evidence in this case.
On Independence Drive, Barbara Stevens was still shaken. She told me she's thinking about moving. So is next-door neighbor John Howell.
I don't understand why. Why someone would do that. It's just barbaric.
Because they're a monster. And the thing is, this guy didn't do anything. He wasn't a part of whatever happened to these other people. He just walked by. And then he was stomped the hell out. So these are monsters. But my point is, it begins with that jealousy, that envy, that hatred. You don't have to go and kill someone to be a monster. If you got that hatred in your heart for your brother, your people, whatever, you are a monster. Like, I haven't killed nobody. I haven't committed adultery with another man's wife. But you got that lust in your heart. You are a monster. You are a monster, and you need to repent.
Hey, so, that was actually one of the first shows that we did on Repentance is the Key.
Mm.
That article right there. Yeah. Yeah, and because what winds up happening is the dude got shamed because a girl slapped him, and he basically said the next dude, you know, like I said in the article, the next dude that come by is gonna be a fight. That dude that he swung on, that dude was like 5'7" and 135 pounds soaking wet. Okay, he was a little dude. He didn't pick on no dude 6'4" and 200-something pounds. Nah, he wanted to slap up and smack up and stomp some little guy. And guess what? All four of those men, those young men, because what wound up happening is that the police basically corralled all of the people that were there and put them on a bus because now they're dealing with the murder scene, and they had to question those people. Parents were upset about that, but that's neither here nor there. But what wound up happening is they found the four young men that started the fight and that were, you know, responsible for stomping that young man out. One guy that pleaded guilty for throwing the first punch, he got life with the possibility of parole after 30 years. The second young man was convicted of murder and is serving life without parole. And the other two young men are also serving life without the possibility of parole. And all of these young men were 21 or younger, between the ages of 19 and 21. 19, between 19 and 21 years old, and your butt is not getting out of jail, and only one of them is only going to be able to get out of jail after he's 50.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. But the point I was going to make is, like, there are people dealing with monstrous spirits or demonic spirits inside of them before they get to, you know, that point of killing somebody. You know, you can turn those things around before those evil forces or those monstrous or demonic spirits come into their full force and they have you destroy your life, because that's their mission, for you to do something that's going to destroy you, that you're not going to be able to come back from. So basically, this guy, they got life in prison, you know?
Yeah.
Even if they could repent in the Lord of Jesus Christ of that murder that he did, but they'll still be locked up. Their fleshly body, they'll never be free.
You can't restore
them. They'll be free from sin, but they're not going to be free as far as that. They're locked up. They ain't going to let you out.
Nah, you're going to pay that.
Yeah. So my last thing is covetousness. Let's go to 1 Kings 21. So covetousness is when you desire something that belongs to somebody else. It's not yours. You know it's not yours. And this too can be a monstrous spirit that's upon people. Yeah.
I'm just preluding. You going to Ahab?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's funny. Anyway, I'm going to let you. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah.
1 Kings 21 and start from 1.
All right. Oh, and before I start the battle, David coveted Uriah's wife before he even dealt with her, and then went further to murder the man, have him murdered too.
Yeah. I mean, there was a whole gamut of things, covetousness, lust, that adulterous spirit.
And it just shows you how people don't understand that our sins are what blinds us to the reality of the consequences that we can suffer if we don't repent.
Eventually, he was dealing with her, you know, as a whore before he even met her, because he's there looking at her like, okay, you know, she's not a respectable woman. Instead of turning away his eyes, he just indulging, you know, in the lust of the eyes by looking at her. Man, she's good. She's naked. She's a beautiful woman. And all those things, now his mind is ticking over. Man, I like me some of that. Ooh, that booty and the breast. And look how the water just shimmer off her back and hair. And everything. You know, he's playing out different scenarios in his mind. He's like, you know what? Who is this woman? I want me some of that woman. Well, she's married. Tell her to come in anyway, because I've already done the deeds in my mind. I want to live it out for real. I've already imagined what I'm going to do. So now I'm going to play out what I'm going to do in the physical realm. I've already done it in the spiritual realm in my mind, and that's been so powerful. And that's what, you know, when we deal on darkness, like how those demons and those spirits, they warp reality to make you think that things that's not real, that it is real. So those emotions and things are so powerful. He done already felt the woman, felt the breast, felt the hips. He's looking at it. He's already played out all those things in detail. And now the only thing that will satisfy his lust is for him to do it for real. So let's read 1 Kings 21, verse 1.
All right. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money.
seems reasonable, doesn't it? He's like, look, what do you want? I'll give you a better vineyard. I'll give you money. That all seems very reasonable, doesn't it?
Yeah, he was basically dealing with him fair and straight up.
Okay, so read on.
And the boss said to Ahab, the Lord forbidded me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee.
So according to the scriptures, your inheritance was your inheritance. You couldn't give it away. You could lease it, and then it would have to come back to you. Even if you owed somebody money or whatever, there was a release where they would have to release you of all debt. I know a lot of people would like that right now. People in credit card debt, people in the mortgage debt or whatever, they would cry out for a year of jubilee.
Mm-hmm.
Or 50th year of jubilee. They would cry out for a year of release. See, that's how we're supposed to, like, okay, you know what? You've been having this debt so long, you ain't going to pay it. You know, you can't pay it. I'm going to release you from it. You know, where in this world there's no mercy, put you in prison. You can't pay the debt, put you in prison. Well, you can never pay the debt in prison. You can't work in prison.
Mm-mm.
So read on. Let's see what Ahab says.
All right. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father. Mm-hmm. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread.
So he having a little hissy fit. He's upset. He got all emotional because the guy won't give him his property that he inherited from his fathers that the Most High had given him. He goes, oh, he's going to give him his property. So I'm not going to eat anything. Read verse 5.
I ain't going to eat because I can't get my garden for my herbs.
Yeah.
Right. Here we go. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad, and why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.
So what she said to him, she gathered, are not you the king? Aren't you the king? You can do what you want. She said, don't worry, I'm gonna get this for you. So basically now, what the monsters have no regard for authority. They have no empathy. They have no sympathy. They have no regard for the commandments of the Most High. So she's not having no regards for the commandments of the Most High. And Ahab's not having no regard for the commandments of the Most High. They're monsters, man. Read on.
Mm-hmm. Now, see, the thing is, Godiwa, I'm reading back through this to make sure that, you know, what he told Jezebel was what was at the actual truth. Because a lot of people like to tell a lie by omission.
Hmm. No, it's the exact same thing. He said no.
Okay.
And he said that he was going to give whatever he was going to give him, that's what he was going to give him.
But he didn't tell him why. He didn't tell her why.
He did.
You see what I'm saying? Okay, I'm just making sure.
He said he's not going to give it because it's the inheritance. Right, cool. I will not give the inheritance of my father's.
Okay. Good. Very good. I'm going to read on.
So that's why these things I'm doing this show to show you that there's other monsters just besides those that come out and commit murders because they don't have any regard for the laws of the Most High. It's told clear. Look, this is this man. He will not give the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. Why? It's his inheritance.
Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be the end of it.
It's his inheritance. For he said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. You can't give away the inheritance of your fathers. That's your land forever, given and separated to each tribe.
Uh-oh, I think we lost him. Okay, I'm going to continue. Oh, we got him back. Now we got you back.
Yeah, if the man had daughters and he had no sons, those daughters had to marry within the tribe. So that land would stay within the tribe. It's like you're a Gadite, you know, you couldn't marry a Judite. Now a Judite is going to be in Gad's land. No, you had to marry someone that was a Gadite. That was a stipulation. Okay, the daughter, they can have their inheritance, but now they're going to have to marry inside their tribe. So read on.
All right. So I stopped at verse 8. It says, so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal, and sent letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, proclaim a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die.
Wow. So she set this guy up lovely. Like, look, raise this guy up on high, right? So flattery, everything, like he's done something great and good, and then get two other guys and say, look, here's this guy and blaspheme the Most High. Carry out and kill him. So read on. Read what happens.
Okay. So let me see. I stopped at 11. And the men of the city, even the elders and nobles who were the inhabitants of his city, did as Jezebel had said, had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died.
We know.
Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it.
Now, did he do an investigation to find out what happened to Naboth? He didn't give a damn about
that.
He wanted his land. He wanted his land. Now he got it. And how did he get it? His wife went out in his name and had the guy murdered, set up. Okay, they put him to death. This guy blasphemed. Two children of Belial, meaning what? They were children of Satan. So people know who people are going to, you know, going to stand up and tell lies and do things. She knows. She found two men. All right, these people, they're going to lie. They're going to say whatever. Why? Because they're just like Cain. Sin lieth at the door, and that's what desire they're going to do. They're going to do the desire of Satan. So they got this man killed. For what? For his land. Because he didn't want to give him the land that the Most High gave in him. He had him killed, put to death. This man is the king. He got more power and authority. And he's going to kill a man that's less than him. That's what you call bullying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's worse than bullying. It's monstrous. And it all started with what? Covetousness.
Right.
It all started with covetousness. So if you got a covetous spirit in you and you harboring that spirit, you feed that, you're a monster. And this is where it could lead. It could lead to you having someone killed. One of my favorite martial arts movies is a movie called Blood and Bone. And in the movie, it's Michael Jai White. And in the movie, he comes out of prison. He was in prison with a guy. And what happened is the guy who's like the villain had the man that was in prison that was murdered, he had him set up that he would go to prison because he wanted his wife. And then he had him killed. And so Michael J. White is coming out to light, kind of like revenge the guy, so forth and so on. So, but all that was covetousness, coveting. Mm-hmm. And scriptures tell us what? Thou shall not covet. Thou shall not covet, because this is where it can lead you. You covet after some of those things, and next thing you know, you done murdered them. In a lot of cases, that's what happened. Some of them, they covet, man. You got those nice Nikes. You got those Air Jordans. $120, $150. You know what? Bop, 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 bop. Now you got a man's Jordan. Ain't the right size. But you killed them for it because you had that covetous spirit. Those are monsters. So there are other monsters just besides people that's committing satanic practices and satanic rituals, and they got the 666 behind their ear and the hexagram and all that. There are people that are monsters that's really in disguise. Really in disguise. It's not the thug or the drug dealer. It may be your pastor. It may be your father. It may be your brother whom you walk by securely. But see, when you deal with the scriptures, you're able to see, you know, that person got spirits on them. That person got, just like Jesus Christ, it saw the spirits of things, and the spirits, when they saw Christ, they trembled. If you carry the spirit of Christ, those demons and spirits, you're not going to be unawares of who's a monster and who's not, because they're going to be troubled at your presence because you have the spirit of Jesus Christ inside of you. And you're not going to be a pleaser. That person got lust. That person is covetous. That person's got hatred. That person is a damn adulterer. Look, damn adulterous eyes, and look at this woman. She's got an adulterous spirit on. She got a whore spirit on him. This man's got a spirit of whoremonger on him. You're going to be able to see it all when you deal with the spirit of the Most High in Jesus Christ. Just like in that movie Frailty. He's like, I can see monsters. I can see the demons. So we're gonna wrap it up there, brothers, you know, giving all praises to the Heavenly Fathers in Christ. The Heavenly Father in Christ, you know, I hope this show went out and was edifying. Definitely go back and listen to the original show that we did, From Darkness to Light, about monsters. It's definitely, you know, an edifying show. Definitely something, you know, for people to go back and listen to. And I'm gonna play that intro again, and you listen to what are the characteristics of a monster, because you may be sleeping with a monster. You may be working with a monster. The monster may be your father, your mother, or your brother. So let's listen to the brother Akarai and his intro from the show, The Original Monsters.
Darkness to light? Monsters. What if I told you that monsters are very real, and they are among us? They have overrun the streets of the ghettos and slums. Their reach extends to the gated communities of your suburban neighborhoods. They infest the schools attended by your children. Even at this very moment, a monster may be lurking in your own home. Monsters are vicious and cruel. Monsters are destructive and horrifyingly evil. Monsters are heartless and have an utter contempt for all life. Monsters do not show pity to old or young. Monsters do not fear the laws of God or man. Monsters live by no code and respect no authority. Monsters cannot feel guilt or shame, nor can they feel sympathy or empathy. Monsters exist only to feed their own ungodly lusts with no care for consequences. They attack on a whim. They harm others because they can. And they kill for fun. To see the faces of these monsters, one need only tune in to your local news. From gang violence to school shootings, rapes, robberies, murders, and random acts of unprovoked violence, the generation of today's youth have been transformed to the stuff of nightmares. The Holy Bible tells us that in the last days, unclean women would give birth to monsters. But how did this happen? When did it begin? And what enemy is to blame? Join us today for another installment of From Darkness to Light, as we use the words of the Holy Bible to expose the evil that has corrupted a generation, giving rise to our greatest fears.
This is the Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, Kings and Priests, where we teach repentance to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. In these last days, darkness has covered the earth, and gross darkness covers the people. But for those who choose to hear the words of the Father and the instructions of Jesus Christ, He will give them the power to become the nation of kings and priests they were ordained to be from the foundations of the earth.